This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson, and we are pleased to have political junkie Ken Rudin joining us on the phone to talk about politics. And again, perhaps you have a question that you want to ask, 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Again, 513-419-7100. Ken, I don't know. There's a huge event in Kentucky this weekend that involves politics, and it's called the Fancy Farm Picnic. And I'm just curious if you have ever been to Fancy Farm for this event.
I never have, but I know those kind of events. I've actually been to one or two in New Jersey, which I don't know how anybody can compare a New Jersey to Kentucky, but it is, you know, it's just political flesh and blood, and all the politicians are out there and pressing the flesh. You know, as a political junkie, it's probably the most fun to be anywhere in the pre-campaign stuff.
Howard, you've actually been to Fancy Farm.
Yes, it's been a few years, but yeah, I've been down there.
And this literally is just a small church, I think.
It's a very small church.
In the middle of nowhere.
Catholic church, yeah. And they have a great big fish fry, and they sell, and they do mutton, and I mean, the food's very good. And it's just an old-fashioned campaign rally, and everybody gets up and makes stump speeches.
And sometimes those stump speeches can sometimes get them into trouble.
And get them into trouble. They can get them booed. They can get them, you know, win them votes. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And it's going to be interesting, Fancy Farm this year, because Mitch McConnell and Allison Grimes are both committed to be there. And we'll be giving speeches. That's going to be one, you know, and this thing attracts thousands and thousands of people to the most remote part of southwestern Kentucky that you can possibly find. I mean, you're almost in the Mississippi River. But it is like the premier political event of Kentucky.
Howard, can you get me could you pick me up some campaign buttons?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about the food that much. I need the buttons.
Oh, yeah. I collect them, too, so, you know.
But Ken, I would somehow think that your collection might be a little bit larger than Howard's.
We'll have to
confer, count numbers and get back with you on that. Let's just before we leave the Kentucky Senate races, we've got some things that we want to talk about in Ohio and around the country, too. The relationship right now between Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, is that because they genuinely like each other, or is it just convenience? They need each other right now.
Well, I there's no question that Mitch McConnell needs Rand Paul more than Rand Paul needs Mitch McConnell. Remember, right after Rand Paul was elected, they asked him whether he would vote for Mitch McConnell to continue as leader, and he said it's too soon to say. So he was never afraid of Mitch McConnell, but actually nobody's afraid of Mitch McConnell. He's not the kind of leader like Lyndon Johnson was, who would just grab you by the knees and just say, look, you got to vote my way or else. McConnell was always the kind of guy who was more of a gentle persuasion kind of guy rather than a bully. But the problem is the Republican Party is changing, as we've noticed, with the Rand Pauls, with the Ted Cruzes, with the Marco Rubios. And so his stature, not only in Kentucky but in Washington, is not as strong as it would have been years ago or was what it was a couple of years ago when leaders were far more respected and more adhered to.
Someone wants your thoughts on this question. Is the Tea Party killing the Republican Party?
Well, there's two answers. This is a very good John Kerry answer. I have two answers for that. One of them is, if it weren't for the Tea Party, the Republicans wouldn't be in control of the House right now. Tea Party enthusiasm and Tea Party candidates, they were Republicans who had no business winning in 2010, but they did because of huge Tea Party strength and enthusiasm and, of course, antipathy for Obama. But at the same time, the people they're going after are the Republicans, you know, the ones, the Bob Bennett's in Utah and, you know, all these nominally conservative folks, Mike Enzi in Wyoming. Now Laura Lynn Cheney is running against it. Not Lynn Cheney. Liz Cheney is running against him because he's not conservative enough. This guy has a national 93% Americans for conservative union rating, a vote rating. So it seems like they're going after, you know, the Bevins and the Cruzes and all these guys. Their targets are more Republicans. So as the Republican Party moves more and more to the right, yes, they are keeping the control of the House, and they'll probably have that for at least the rest of the decade. But it's hurting, and as we saw in Indiana with Richard Murdoch against Dick Lugar, in Missouri last year with Todd Akin, a lot of them are just so conservative that they're just turning off the centrist, independent, moderate voters that are supposedly in the middle and who determine these things. So, you know, you can keep the House forever, but you're not going to win the presidency if you're fighting to be more and more to the right, you know, the right of center, right wing.
Well, Ken, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, they won the House for them in 2010, and John Boehner, in some ways, has been paying the price ever since because it's made his job more difficult, just keeping control of that caucus.
You're exactly right. I mean, often when he brings something to the floor, a good third, if not half of his caucus, even more sometimes, say, we're not going to vote on the farm bill. We're not going to vote on immigration. We're not going to vote on Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
He has a tough battle. And in a sense, McConnell has a similar problem.
Yeah, I mean, I've known John Boehner for 30 years now, and this guy is a pragmatic politician. He wants, he's willing to cut a deal. But he's got a whole lot of people in the House who came in 2010 who are not.
Exactly. He's one deal away from being deposed as Speaker of the House, I think.
Yeah. So you don't think his survival is assured?
Well, I mean, he'll have to do it. Look, he says now he will not bring anything to the floor of the House without a majority of the majority party, meaning I'm not going to have anybody vote on anything if the majority of the Republicans don't like it. He has to do that because, there are so many people who just have no fear about him whatsoever. They say, look, we were elected to fulfill our promises. We made promises to the voters back home, not to John Boehner and Mitch McConnell in Washington. So,
right.
So I mean, they, both of them are looking out over their right shoulder while they're trying to, control their party in the Congress.
Yeah, it'll be interesting in 2014 to see what happens in those House races and, if that Republican majority grows. And it grows because of some of these Tea Party-type candidates getting elected. Whether or not that threatens Boehner and his chance to remain Speaker.
Well, everybody's talking about palace coups. We do know that Newt Gingrich was in danger of a coup when he was Speaker, not because he was too conservative, but he was just too much being Newt Gingrich. But clearly in the House, it's about ideology. And Boehner, as you say, you're absolutely right. Since he came to the House in 1990, he's always been a facilitator, somebody who talks to folks across the aisle back in the days when it wasn't, subject to treason, right?
And here locally, I mean, he gets accused, obviously, and this is kind of the leadership disease. He gets accused by his constituents here of not paying any attention to them.
That's always a problem with a leader in Washington. I mean, a part of the Lundgren Grimes campaign, of course, is that Mitch McConnell cares more about Washington than he does about Kentucky. Although, from the moment he was elected in 1984, McConnell has had an uncanny ability to bring a lot of jobs and money back to the state. So perhaps that's part of why he survived this long. It's
yes.
Just amazing to see somebody in the Senate so long and to have such unpopular approval ratings. You think of Robert Byrd and Daniel Inouye of Florida in Hawaii and even Pat Leahy of Vermont. They've been around for decades, but they remain popular. McConnell has never had that kind of popularity.
Right, and they did it the same way. I mean, Byrd obviously brought a whole lot of money to his state. Mitch McConnell's brought enormous amounts of money to Kentucky. I mean, they get a return on their federal dollar that they send to Washington. That's pretty incredible.
And conservatives resent that, and conservatives hate that.
Yes.
Ken, we've been talking about John Boehner. Let's talk about something else that's coming up in Ohio next year, and that's the governor's race with John Kasich. And the only announced candidate is Ed Fitzgerald from the Cleveland area.
Right.
You follow this. What are your first thoughts on the Ohio governor's race next year?
Well, once upon a time, we thought that Kasich was going to be a one-term governor. We saw that, his battles with the unions and the teachers' unions and things like that blew up in his face with that referendum in 2011. But it seems like his numbers are improving as the economy is improving in Ohio. And it's always tough to knock out an incumbent governor when the economy is doing pretty well. So, you know, we've talked about, remember, the recall election against Scott Walker in Wisconsin, and all these Republican governors seem to be walking a very thin line for the second term. But right now, it seems like with the economy improving, the numbers improving, my early bet would be that Kasich wins the second term.
And Tom sends us an email from Mason, and that fits perfectly here. Tom wants to know if the Democrats can win back the Ohio governorship.
Well, sure they could. I mean, Kasich certainly didn't win by a landslide in 2010. It was a very close election, one of the closest gubernatorial elections. That's why I always consider him a very close governor. But I mean, but it just seems like that again. The economy was really, really in 2006 in Ohio. You had scandal. You had the whole Taft administration. A lot of the Taft administration enmeshed in some kind of a scandal, which allowed the Democrats to take over for the first time in decades. It seems like they went back to normal in 2010. But you know, for the lack of a faltering economy and a lack of another scandal, anything is possible. We're talking about 15 months in advance. I just remember the day of the New Hampshire primary in 2008, we all predicted Obama would beat Hillary Clinton, and we were wrong. So if we couldn't predict the day of the primary, I'll be foolhardy to make a serious prediction 15 months in advance. But having said that, the early bird looks like that Kasich has a nominal, should be the nominal favorite.
Yeah, he is a nominal favorite. I don't think there's any question about that, the polling and such. Let's assume he does win re-election. Where do you think that puts him in terms of 2016? Because this guy has presidential ambitions. He's to the contrary of what he says all the time, that, you know, he doesn't think about it. I mean, he ran for the presidency in 2000, you know, when he was still a member of Congress. And of course,
all of 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, for all of 15 minutes. But, you know, he clearly had the ambition. Do you see him as any kind of possibility in 2016?
You know, as you were asking that question, I was thinking, I've been told by some people close to him that Rob Portman is also seriously looking in the presidential bid.
Oh, yes.
And Rob Portman, you know, may not be everybody's ideal conservative. Of course, his views on same-sex marriage may hurt him with many in the religious right. But I just wonder if Kasich is certainly more conservative than Portman, but Portman has the Bush legacy behind him. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not sure. But
and the Bush money.
I just wonder if Kasich is the only Republican coming out of Ohio who has ideas about 2016.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think there are at least two, and I think Kasich is one of them, and I think Rob Portman is one of them, and Rob Portman is able to raise enormous amounts of money.
I always thought that, you know, the way to win the White House for the Republicans is somebody like Portman, who, by the way, I was convinced was going to be Mitt Romney's running mate. Yeah. I mean, he's conservative. He's a great debater. He's smart, and he knows his stuff. He's not, you know, he's not going to scare away moderates. But again, it's one thing to be the great nominee in November. It's another thing to win the nomination. And of course, those are two different constituencies completely.
2008, 2012, you know, all eyes were on Ohio as this bellwether state in presidential politics. Is Ohio
also
is Ohio losing, though, that status because we keep losing population and electoral votes? Could it be our bellwether be shifting to someone else, to another state?
Well, it is losing, you know, it is losing population. It is losing electoral votes. But I mean, you know, you think of I mean, of course, as President Kerry will remind you, that had 60,000 votes switched in Ohio in 2004,
that's right. That's exactly
Bush
right.
would have lost re-election. But, I mean, I still think Ohio is still it seems like most of the other states are no longer swing states. I mean, Michigan was once considered a swing state, Pennsylvania a swing state. They keep voting solidly Democratic. I think that, you know, if I had to say them, I'd say Ohio and Florida are the two states. Now, of course, you know, Virginia is becoming more in play. And for all we know, in another decade or so, Texas may no longer be reliably Republican, given the demographic changes there. But as of now, at least, I still think Ohio is definitely one of the key states.
Ken, before we run out of time, we got about 20 or 30 seconds here. If people want to follow you, how do they keep in touch with the Political Junkie?
Well, you could follow me on Facebook. I go by the name of Ken Rudin, and also on Twitter.
How convenient.
There will be a new Political Junkie column and Scuttlebutt and Puzzle. All that stuff is coming back in the not-too-distant future.
And Ken, we hope sometime to have you on again to talk about politics. It's been fun.
Yeah.
I'd love to. Thanks a lot.
Thank you much.
Political Junkie Ken Rudin joining us by phone to discuss politics in Kentucky and Ohio and around the country. With the last few minutes here of Cincinnati Edition on this Thursday afternoon, since we usually talk about politics, there's been some happenings in the Cincinnati mayor's race. And yesterday, Libertarian candidate Jim Burns sent a handwritten note to the Board of Elections asking to withdraw from the mayoral primary on September the 10th.
Correct.
And then today he asked the Board of Elections to withdraw his withdrawal. And then you've done some reporting. That may not even be possible to withdraw in the first place. Fill us in, Howard.
It's a very odd situation. Yes, Jim Burns came in with a handwritten note and said that he no longer wanted to be a candidate. Now, the ballots have already been printed up. Then today he contacted the Board of Elections and said, no, I do want to be a candidate. I talked to Tim Burke, who's the chairman of the Board of Elections, also the chairman of the Democratic Party. He said there's a question, a legal question, about whether you can withdraw in the first place under the city charter. It doesn't provide for withdrawal of candidates, and they're researching that question right now. So my guess is, in the end, his name will be on the ballot.
There was some question yesterday when he thought he was withdrawing from the race that there would be three candidates, Roxanne Qualls, John Cranley, and Queen Noble.
Yes.
I guess depending on what the interpretation is from the city, if they're not allowed to withdraw, then there's no way that there's not going to be a primary on September the 10th.
Right. As long as there's more than two candidates, there has to be a primary on September 10th.
You talked to Jim Burns.
Yes.
What did he say?
Well, he said that it's obvious to him that Cranley and Qualls are going to win this thing, but he wanted to get back on the ballot and get his message out.
And Howard will be following this online at WVXU.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Rick Andrus. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.